To the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on American Freedom Radio and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And thank you very much for listening in this holiday season. Being in New Zealand, we're not experiencing the cold quite as much as you are there in the entire Northern Hemisphere, according to recent reports. The ridiculously cold weather is all because of global warming. So don't worry about it. I'm sure the carbon taxes will clear that weather right up. So as long as you all start paying your carbon taxes, that bad weather will go away. All right? That's the idea. Kind of sounds like some kind of a witch doctor saying, unless you sacrifice your children to me, all your crops will die. Isn't that the age that we're living in now, this kind of age of scientific mysticism? Where people believe things just because they've read it. I've always said that you can't believe anything 100%. Because what if you were wrong? After all, you're just a human being. And so the likelihood of you being wrong about anything is certainly possible. If the right information were given to you, would you change your beliefs on a dime? I probably would. There's got to be some discernment out there. You got to actually listen and communicate with other people, though. Because last night, I sat down at a bonfire with a couple of socialists, you know, mates of mine, stuff like that. I don't particularly believe in what they believe in, and nor do they mine. In fact, one person, when I started talking about fluoride, because the subject of Soviet Russia came up, and they used fluoride in the gulags. And you wouldn't be amazed what happened. They suddenly didn't need 75% of their guards there because everybody was so kind of like dumbed down. That's why they use it as a binding agent and depressants, things of that nature. Rat poison indeed. There's two types of fluoride, one from limestone, that's calcium fluoride, very good for your teeth, found naturally in waterways. And the other kind is sodium fluoride, which is a waste product from factories that is one of the, in the top three, most poisonous to humans. Number one being cyanide, number three being arsenic, fluoride being number two. That's how toxic the substance is. And unfortunately, they couldn't get rid of the fluoride in any safe way because you're not allowed to bury it. It's impossible to get rid of. The only way it can safely enter the environment is through if it's passed through human kidneys. Right? But this person didn't want to hear any about that. In fact, I didn't even get to the first sentence of explaining that when she said, I'm not listening to you. Okay, this is insane. It's conspiracy theory. You're going to be talking about reptilian aliens next. It's like, where the heck in Christ nuggets has that come from? Where's the aggression coming from here, man? It wasn't from me. She said I was just reciting as if information itself is not worth listening to. How do you communicate with somebody who feels that way? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man. He's gonna take me to that little room.
I wanna not know.
Oh, no, no.
Welcome.
There's only one thing I need to know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I found out something interesting about the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We have almost the exact same amount of visitors from New Zealand as we do from America. America's maybe a little bit above. But isn't that interesting? Well, I guess people in New Zealand actually really want to hear the truth too. I wonder what that means. I have a special guest on the line here, ladies and gentlemen. And it's in times like these, the holiday season, when you think about family, and many of us should realize that a lot of other people out there can't have a Merry Christmas with their family sometimes. There's obvious complications like, conflicting schedules. They live in different countries. You know, they come home once every couple of years, something along those lines. But there's other cases when family members are kept away from the kids. My guest has a very disturbing story about all of this. Her name is Amy Sharon, or Sharon. I'm not sure how we pronounce it. Amy, are you there?
Hello, it's Amy Sharon.
Sharon, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thank you.
So please enlighten us. You've got a young daughter.
And yes.
What's happened with her?
March 15th of 2009, at that time she was 2 years old, I was at a well-known hospital in Texas. I had no criminal background at 42 years old, no mental, alerts or anything of any of that kind of thing. I went in there because I had black and white proof of crimes against my own mother and stepfather. I went in there simply for help. And they said they were going to change my daughter's diaper with no warrant, nothing. They never brought her back, and it's been almost 2 years. She's my only child.
You've suffered a lot in these last 2 years, and you said to me recently on Facebook that you've been starting to get a real spur of attention on this issue at the moment. Is that correct?
Well, I think I'm at about 12,000 viewers and supporters worldwide. Much of my support actually comes from Europe, ironically, since I'm an American citizen. My experience here for 2 years as a single mom has been horrific. I have notified the feds. I have notified the FBI. I have written the president. I have met with Governor Perry in person. I have the pictures to prove it. I have literally by myself gotten my car and protested. I have handed out 5,000 business cards to churches that show evidence. And I literally, when I go to the police station to try to show my evidence, which I have proof of and witnesses to, they will actually, as soon as I give my name, they will threaten to arrest me. It just happened 3 days ago and someone caught part of it on the phone. I was literally threatened to be arrested for trespassing, for begging tearfully to look at my evidence. And the police told me, if you don't get out of here right now, we're going to arrest you. It's been something like out of a movie. No one would ever believe what I'm going through, what my daughter has endured. Despite the proof that I came from a horrific, abusive childhood, bounced around like an unwanted puppy dog, lived 8 months in another home senior year for child abuse, was found half dead in the woods, half starved to death, and even these people testified, or this lady testified, to this. They terminated my right, saying I was imagining my abuse, therefore delusional. So therefore, everything I endured as a child and everything my daughter's enduring that I have black and white proof of, they won't admit that they made a mistake and they won't return her.
Maybe there's something else going on here, because in New Zealand, the court system, very similar things happen, particularly in family court, which is the only court not allowed to be filmed. And apparently there's a lot of corruption in there, child trafficking, and some people will even pay fees to get their hands on particular types of children. I mean,
yeah.
And it's just so corrupt the entire system, and they forget the human impact that their decisions have. These people who sit on the benches have detached themselves from human society. They've forgotten what it means to be human. The application of the law shouldn't affect the outcome of a human life as monstrously as it has been done to you.
Well, I mean, I've done numerous hours of research for 2 years now. And I've been blessed in one way. I have an ex-husband who's a lawyer and a biochemist. And luckily, he has provided me a little bit. You know, it's not enough to make ends meet because now they're taking my home. Actually, July 3rd, my $340,000 home, the sheriffs are going to come and throw me out of my home. They're actually illegally foreclosing on my home, and it has everything to do with them illegally kidnapping my daughter. It's just a horrific story. So not only have I lost my child, but I've lost my home that she loved. Her toys sit unopened from Christmas. Last year, her birthday gifts, her Easter gifts, everything sit in a corner here, and now they're going to come and drag me out by force because I told them I refused to leave this home. So for all I know, I'm going to jail on January 3rd.
January 3rd, just after New Year's.
Yes, and the surprising thing is that in court I represented myself, and the judge actually, I won the first time, and then Wells Fargo, a very crooked company, and I don't care to say it on the air, they are illegally taking my home. They raised my mortgage almost $400 a month, and the minute they made a mistake, and now they're evicting me even though I have an open wrong foreclosure case. I don't even think that's legal. A judge ruled in my favor, and you can actually see where he signed the document, the brief that I filed, and then he undid it in the same hearing because Wells Fargo mentioned a law called Ramirez versus Home Association, which to everything I've studied, along with my lawyer friends, it should not even apply to me because, one, my house is a crime scene at this point, and, two, because there's an open Wells Fargo wrongful foreclosure case. And they're actually evicting me and then saying, well, maybe later, if we don't sell your house, you can come back. Interesting enough, my daughter's appeal that I've been fighting for a year, they're granting me some kind of motion on December 31st. Well, it's a scam because homeless, they're going to say now I can't have my daughter because they're taking my home. So it's all a scam. And what I know from my research is they go after children like mine. They call them headhunters. And they go after children that are as beautiful as mine, blonde, blue eyes, la, la, la. And
yes,
they actually have people that...
I saw the photographs and the videos of your daughter that you posted. And this is the most beautiful little girl, you know?
She was the happiest...
you've ever seen, you know?
Oh, she was already in a movie. I work in a modeling agency, one of the biggest modeling agencies in Houston. She was known by everyone. We were very well liked by the community. We went to church every Sunday. I went to Bible study. She was in the nursery. No signs of abuse. She was very connected with the community. Never any accusations of me abusing her or her not being well taken care of. And then all with a blink of my eye, she was taken and I had no justice whatsoever. I lost everything that I've ever worked for, and to me, because without my child, I have no home anyway. So it's really irrelevant to me at this point. All I'm trying to do is expose the truth, and the truth is that this is Nazism at its best. They are destroying families, and I'll tell you what, it is such a scam, and I don't care how much they threaten me. If you look under fear on the website, you'll see proof of hacking, you'll see proof of them, whoever I say them. Let me make it clear. I don't really know who them is. I have an idea, but I'll keep my mouth shut here so I don't get sued.
Well, there was back in the, I think it was in the mid-90s, a documentary about pedophile rings that were being run in U.S. cities that concerned high members of state and high members of the corporate interest. And apparently in the court system, and we've heard this from, I believe, Doc Bean from the Watchmen, is a Vietnam vet and all that, he... said that they are in fact getting paid certain sums for particular types of children, and it's an official child racketeering ring. In CPS custody, children are 5 times more likely to be abused. And I think that was in Reuters.
Of course. And here's the shocker. I personally visited a home, and children begged me for their help in Willis, Texas. I went to the media, told them they were being drugged and fondled by CPS. I don't know what you call those people, but the people that work in the emergency shelters approved by CPS, I gather. I went to the police.
I call them charming pedophile services.
Right. I went to the police because I witnessed these children barely able to walk, very horrific, depressing, darkened woods, very scary. I went to the police. They wouldn't listen to me. I went, it's all on my Facebook, 10 days protesting in Austin by myself, actually with a witness, with a witness, who was actually in the home. So here was a 16-year-old, I believe, wanting to talk to the media. They kept me there for 10 days, lied to me, struck me with about a $2,000 bill because they said if they, you know, to stay around and stay in the hotel near them. Never, ever returned any of my calls, including Alex Jones, who I personally have no respect for, and I'm happy to say that on the air. This man knew I was coming. He had about 150 calls to meet with me, and he refused to meet with me. I believe this whole thing is, I'll make a long story short, the girl died, the girl that I promised to help. You can look it up on the internet. Her name is Felicia Minix. She's in the newspaper. So the media didn't take it when she was alive, but she met the newspapers. I guess, expectations, because now she's dead, and what a story that makes. So she got ran over by a truck running away with a group of runaways, and then I was threatened that I would go to jail for trying to wire them money as they were living in the woods for the ones that were surviving in 105 heat index in Texas. I mean, I have such a story. It would take you, honestly, 2 weeks to know the whole thing. There's so much more to my story. It's not just about my daughter and I. It's about other kids I've tried to help. But I've literally been threatened to be arrested for trying to help minors hiding in the woods, fearing for their life, actually fearing CPS people. I mean, it's a crazy story.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a story that repeats itself all over the world. We have a similar story here in New Zealand where a woman was basically, you get paid by Protective Services in New Zealand to have children into foster homes, right? And this one woman had 10 children under two, and she was collecting about $1,200 a week from the children's services.
Exactly.
Okay. And in the UK, I believe a convent or something of that nature, run by the government, had huge amounts of pedophile activity going on there. So much that every single child who was there knew it and had experienced it or seen it.
Exactly.
Just total child abuse.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, my evidence, if you listen to my daughter admitting she's being abused, secretly taped from a digital little tape recorder that I hid in my purse. See, the thing about me that no one gets is I may be a woman. I may be, you know, this single woman. No hero here protecting me at night. I actually sleep with a chair at my door every night and a little knife that wouldn't even cut an apple. But, you know, I don't have any weapons. And I actually sit here night after night getting threats, rape threats. I have literally had the most gruesome rape threats. I call the police, and they laugh and hang up on me, even with the proof on my phone and the phone number. I've had people steal my evidence out of my home, admit they did it, send me texts admitting they did it, call the police, and they threaten to arrest me for bothering them. This is a huge, what people don't understand is what I'm involved in is so political, it's not your average CPS case. My stepfather.
Let's talk about the importance of the people. Who has your child at the moment? What's her
the
name?
The suspects. They were under attempted murder, and then a lawyer made another report. And as far as I know, it's still an active attempted murder case. No investigation in 2 years, and they're the ones that have my daughter. Despite last time I saw her, she was covered in bruises. The evidence is on the website, the one that you have. I secretly took it.
Are they well connected and wealthy?
Oh, are you kidding? Governor Perry appointed my stepfather head of the dental board. They had a fundraiser for Ted Poe and all these huge people. He has pictures of him and President Bush in his office. He's a prominent oral surgeon. He makes over $3 million a year. Mm-hmm. So what happened was the hospital treated me like some little nobody and took their word. So what they did is they took my child, bypassed the ER contact, who's my grandma, illegally called the suspects of a crime. So let me just put it in perspective. If you're married, let's say your wife, someone tried to rape your wife, right? She goes with your daughter to the hospital. She's crying. She's like, someone tried to rape me. Imagine the hospital calling the rapist and him saying, she's nuts. Them saying, we're going to change your daughter's diaper, sweetie. We'll bring her right back. And never bringing the child back. Throw me by force in a mental institution in the city they live in, not even my city. Transported at 2:30 in the morning, tied up like a dog with handcuffs, and thrown in a mental institution because I tried to run after my daughter out of a hospital. Therefore, I'm irate. Yes.
And this is the insanity of the situation, right? They have a look at anybody who's doing any normal activity, anything good, anything that makes sure that people are actually trying to live a life, you know? And they just crack down on it because they hate it so.
I mean, the thing is, they lied to me and said she would never go with the suspects of the crime. They come in the room at something like 2 in the morning, and they say, we gave her to your mom. I said, you promised me you wouldn't do that. And they said, well, we did. So I went running, and then a nurse puts me over his shoulder like a little kid, wearing a skirt, showing my underwear. So I'm swinging, which anyone would do, because I felt like that was a violation of my constitutional rights. If anything, this is my child. Then they tie me up with little white rags so hard that I had to beg for help. And luckily, there was an attorney named Jack Lee that witnessed it. So he told him to take the rags off. And then they tell police to handcuff me. And then he says, I'm not comfortable with that because she's not really doing anything. They transfer me to another city that's 40 minutes from me when there's mental hospitals all around my house. And my parents dictate the whole thing. And they so heavily medicate me that I was having seizures and convulsions that I have medical proof of. 41-pound weight gain in 10 days.
Mate, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we will be right back after this very short break with some more very disturbing news. Back, broadcasting live from the future, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live from New Zealand and around the world. This is our last show before Christmas.
And, Merry Christmas. I feel like I'm a real downy here. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, we like to keep things cheery, you know, and having your daughter taken off. Yeah, certainly fits the bill. No, no, no.
I am a real life Scrooge, but with good reason, please.
Well, you know, if you can't laugh about it, I mean, think of the ridiculousness of it.
Believe me, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Twilight Zone, like, big time. Like, I sit here and shake my head every day, and is this real? I mean, you just can't even... It sounds like a bad movie. It sounds like one of those Lifetime for Women, really outrageous movies. But it's real.
Yeah, man. I mean, where do you think the movie studios came up with the ideas? There's not that many original people in Hollywood, is there?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, though. You know, the irony of the whole thing is a psychiatric judge ruled it out. Pulled me out of the psych ward, whatever that thing was, a hospital... And they ruled it out, and they still wouldn't give my daughter back. That's totally illegal. Not to mention my Cherokee Indian background, which makes it against the law for CPS to even touch a child with Indian blood. I mean, I could go on and on. See, the thing is, I was smarter than what they thought. And I don't mean that in a, you know, conceited way, but I mean,
you
know.
That you would just give up.
They thought, either they thought I would commit suicide, which sadly many parents do, and it really ticks me off because they run them down so much. You know, they lose their homes, their cars. You know, they fight to the bitter end. And a lot of them, which the media, which I want to say, I hold the media, and I hope CNN, I hope all of them are listening right now. I wish I could sue every one of them. I have proof, and I have secretly taped proof, that they are aware of crimes and refuse to air it. Shannon 39, or what is it, 3938, in Texas, filmed my first anti-CPS fashion show, which is kind of funny, but I was trying to be like a real Zoolander, if you know the movie. I had a theory that you could somehow persuade people to listen to you on stage if you could throw in a fashion show. I don't know. It seemed to work, but Channel 39 filmed it and then lied to my models as they went up to pick up the tape and said, "We don't know what you're talking about." Are you serious? You think my models are delusional? I mean, it's such a scam.
You know,
and you know who's just as much responsible is the media, because they are, you know what it is? It's organized crime at its best.
Oh, yeah.
It is organized crime. They're all in on it. Why? Show me the money. Let's not get our ratings down because we go against Governor Perry or the government. So let's just weasel our way away from the truth. And let's just let these people commit suicide. And let's just let these children die. But, hey, we'll take the show once the kid's dead, because then there's not really much controversy, because we'll just say the kid's dead. We won't give all the truth behind why that child is dead. That's what infuriates me. And because I'm strong enough to go and question all these people in person, oh, you wouldn't believe how they've come after me. You wouldn't believe it. They put me in jail 30-something days for something I didn't do that I had witnesses to, including my sweet 91-year-old grandmother. No prior criminal record. Imagine, church-going woman, gets along with her community, worked at MD Anderson on terminally ill patients for 2 years. How could I be delusional? Do you know how strict they are to have someone work on the terminally ill? I did makeovers. They're very strict about people that can come in that hospital. And all of a sudden, I'm too delusional to be a mother when I sat there and worked at the most prestigious stores as a regional makeup artist for Christian Dior. Neiman, Saks, did fashion shows. Never was accused of being delusional until the day they took my child. Coincidental, I was 32 years old. How was I never kicked out of a business or a restaurant or work for being crazy, but all of a sudden I'm too crazy to have a child? It's a scam. And they're doing this to people left and right.
Yeah, and for the people listening, like particularly in the UK, if you think this can't happen in a town near you, look up Holly Greig. Google Holly Greig. I dare you, okay? 14-year-old now, suffering from Down syndrome, was passed around a group of individuals in the local town, including the chief constable and, servants of the mayors and doctors, psychiatrists, nurses, and, you know, people who are kind of in the know and in general restricted positions of society. And the same thing happened to her mother when she was trying to get her back. You know?
It's an epidemic.
It's so... the proportions of the crimes individually aside, the magnitude of the amount of them that are actually going on right now all over the place. Even in Serbia, the current president, I think, he is implicated in child kidnapping and body parts trading. And DynCorp also has just been brought up in the news lately for doing child trading during the Kosovo War. Okay? So these people, and it is big, big, big business. All right? And,
it's all about show me the money. And what it comes down to is the more credible you are, they will create the case illegally. And I cannot be sued for this show. I am so ahead of the game. Everything I say, I have black and white proof to back it up. And I hope Governor Perry or Texas Governor Perry is listening, because he met me in person and he said in front of the big cameras, smiling, "Oh, I'll reinvestigate this case. I know how horrible it is." admitting he knew where I was. If you really want to know the truth, I think our governor should be in prison. You know why? Because when you are a witness to a crime and you see evidence and you don't do anything, in my opinion, that makes you a criminal. Our governor has been aware for 2 years that he appointed a man that illegally drugged me. Black and white evidence on my site, not hearsay. A stepfather who I didn't get along with.
And that is grounds, if you're actually party to or know of that, you can indeed be charged with criminal conspiracy.
Well, the thing is, I've tried to go to the FBI, and numerous supporters have also shot my email out to CNN and all these big people, Nancy Grace. Last night I talked to the FBI on the phone, and they just brushed me off. When I tried to go to the police station 3 days ago, and I'll give the exact location because I have someone that heard it on the phone. I went to, it's called Gary Ashford in Houston, Texas, about 3 days ago, around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when I told them that I have proof of a crime that our governor is hiding, which is not hearsay. They actually told me, get out of here or we're arresting you for trespassing as soon as I gave my name. That is illegal. I'm an American citizen. I have no terrible background where I should be treated this way. I've done a lot for this community. I've done a lot for abused children. I did stuff for the terminally ill. I did stuff for Alzheimer's patients, pet on wheels. I don't deserve to go down like this. But more importantly, my daughter, a helpless little child who's been voiceless. No one's even listening to her screams. No one's even listening that she's saying on tape, Mommy, they're beating my heady, and that she's screaming, and that I have it secretly taped, knowing that they'd come after me for that. So I've said it all along. I'm willing to die for my daughter. I'm willing to die for this cause. Because you know what? If that's what it takes for someone to get her out of there, I'm willing to die for it. And I've said that now for almost 2 years on Facebook. And I don't play around. The things I'm doing right now is so risky. Senator Nancy Schaefer died exposing the truth. And I have exposed the same thing she exposed now for almost 2 years. Publicly. First time I got on stage and said this stuff. I knew it was going to put me at a great risk. But somebody has to do it.
And have you been on radio shows and shows?
Yes, I've been on a TV show too, William Wagner TV show. And the threats have been off the chain ever since I went public, cutting my wires, my security system, my bedroom security system, stealing evidence. And even with proof and witnesses, they will not make police reports. My phones have been taken recently. I had black and white proof. I met with a police officer. He was smirking. He says, yeah, I'll take care of it. Never called me.
Have you contacted the local sheriff?
Oh, I've met with the sheriff. I've met with two sheriffs in person one night for almost 2.5 hours. Two nights ago, I was in front of a Vietnamese restaurant looking for a friend who was a police officer, and there was a replacement that night. I guess he was sick. And he said, I'm going to have to go to the feds with this story. This is a very disturbing story. I said, here's my business card with the evidence site. He handed it. I have the hostess that witnessed this, the hostess of the Vietnamese restaurant. He goes, oh, and hand it back and walked outside. I mean, it's like I'm red flagged in Texas. And the more I expose, the more they come after me. I walk on eggshells 24/7. They've tried to put me in mental institutions. They've tried to arrest me left and right. They've succeeded with a few things. That they don't get it. I have too many people watching my back now, so they've laid off like 70%. This past 3 months, the more exposure I got recently, it seems like the more they're kind of, it seems like they're letting up a bit.
Yeah. And also this dovetails with another case that we had on the show a while ago about, what was it? Oh, yes, his daughter, like 2-day-old daughter, was taken by CPS, and he's a member of Oath Keepers.
I know that story, yes. Very, very disturbing, yeah.
Yeah, so, again, you know, you can't stress that much as it can be to the public that this kind of thing does go on, and we need to wake up to it en masse to stop these kind of things from happening, because the levels of secrecy and the high-up connections and things of this nature sounds just like the standard operating procedure of a criminal cabal.
You know, yes.
There's nothing nefarious going on here. It's just pure criminality. I mean, that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
Yeah, that's so right on. You couldn't say it better. I mean, as I said, this is organized crime. Seems like the police, the politicians, doesn't even matter. I mean, there was a day you thought the FBI would be above it all. But let me tell you, they have my information and they have done nothing.
And it's a very definition of my favorite phrase. Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Well, you know what? They are messing with the wrong mama bear. That's all I can say.
Well, there's actually been cases, I believe this is on Ripley's Believe It or Not or something, I mean, a woman was actually able to pull a car and hold it up to get...
I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm like the most, like, strength-wise, I'm about as wimpy as they get. I have no physical strength. I mean, I'm nothing to be scared of, but mentally, fear my mind. That's all I can say. Don't fear my body, fear my mind.
Extreme feistiness.
Well, they weren't expecting it. They were expecting me to hover up in a corner and ball up in a little ball and poor me, why me? See, I never doubted God. I doubt humanism, in all due respect I do, but I never doubted God. Because I believe that God, in some weird way, has chosen me. Because in the end, I believe I'm going to be able to help other people. Not only am I going to be able to save my own child, but I believe I'm going to be able to make a difference. I'm writing a book right now. And it's a very controversial book, and I'm about halfway done. I have an amazing ghostwriter named Ramona Mayon, who presented all my evidence in a very brave heart sort of way. And, you know, all I can say to people out there is we need more brave hearts. We need more, gladiators, so to speak. I mean, people that fight to the bitter end.
Absolutely, and I was talking with Luke Radowski of We Are Change on Facebook the other night, and we were talking about how he was kind of getting demonized a little bit for kind of doing what he's doing, but the fact of the matter is he's out there and he's doing it every day, you know, for 9/11 truth. And he was sick of people kind of thinking, oh, great, he's Luke Radowski and all of that, when he says that they should just be doing it themselves. You know, you don't need a leader. You have to be the leader. And that's the problem with our society, really, is that we've forgotten what it is like to not follow orders, okay? And it allows atrocities like this to happen. There's an artist named Banksy, maybe you've heard of him, but he said that the worst atrocities that have ever been committed in mankind's history have been done by people following orders. So if everybody stopped following orders, all the atrocities would stop.
Oh, well, I mean, you touched my thinking. I mean, so, first of all, I studied ancient philosophy in college, and I did above average in that. Go figure. I mean, I made D's and F's in math, and then I do phenomenally well in ancient philosophy. But, you know, everybody thinks in their own way. And I was pretty good in things that had to do with thinking and history. I majored in American studies, which is not American history. It is the study of diversity in America. And so I'm someone that gets things.
Yep, and we will just continue this on right after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio and Rush 89 FM, Hamilton. We'll be right back, folks.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman, dig my earth.
They're gonna come and take them. You ever hear where Planned Parenthood came from? It came from a little society called the Eugenics Society of America. Get this, man. Sterilizing people by court order. If you think that courts and governments don't do horrible things to people and, you know, happen in genocide, that kind of thing.
And Hitler did the same thing.
Yep. And guess who Hitler actually issued the first decree out of? Homeschoolers. Homeschoolers were the first people to be persecuted by Hitler, I'm told, because you're not allowed to educate your own children and have any kind of parenting. They wanted the big daddy to be the person in charge of the country. That's why they had the Hitler Youth, to see Hitler as a father figure to all of them.
Right. Know?
And that's what really these kind of things are about, is about the state taking over the role of parenting, because the family unit is supposed to be indivisible. It is supposed to be strong. You look out for each other, much like a mafia family is strong and looks after exactly. each other, incidentally. So what they've found out is that if they can break out people's family ties, it weakens that individual, and you can basically snuff them out. They're very easy to control. And, that's a theory on my part, at least. But the effect is there rather than the theory.
Well, but here's an interesting thing that most people, I don't know, for whatever reason, I guess when they're not in the shoes, it's unfortunate that they don't really take an interest. But I've done a lot of research, and it sounds like you have, of course, yourself. And what I know is that this whole thing is just a way, these people, these like CPS people, they're actually like used car salesmen. They actually get like bonuses for how many children they get a month. This is a fact. So the more little kids they steal, the bigger their bonus checks get. And it's just, they will illegally, I had someone from CPS that quit that met me at a restaurant one night. She made me check my purse so I wasn't taping. It was insane. And she was so worried. She said they actually forged documents. She quit over it. She said they forged documents that if they don't have a case so they don't get sued, they will create a case unlawfully, illegally. There's a few good guys with CPS. There is. There's a few that say that's enough and they walk out. But I don't think it's a few to me. And even the few that I spoke to. I'm sorry?
It's what you find out when you become involved with almost any corporation or organization, be they political, business, or even charitable. Sometimes, if you're there long enough, you find out what it's really about, and you understand that it is not the person on the front line that understands what the company is about. It's the people right at the very, very top, and they are rarely the same thing.
Yeah, but people should be outraged, because as long as the federal government's getting perks for them being the bad guys, I think about it. As long as there's perks and bonuses, where's the motive for them to be wrong? So, hey, let's destroy countless children and parents, because, hey, the federal government pays us to be right. Some of these kids I hear are worth 250 grand. Now they got people retiring from the FBI. If you saw some of those YouTubes, they're coming clean. They're saying they're putting them on stages like slavery with little signs bidding them out. Let's see who's the highest bidder. I picture my poor little child, dimples, blue eyes, blonde hair, getting in the arms of a molester, which, by the way, runs in my family. And because I try to run from the garbage, I'm the bad guy. You see, I paid the big price. I was a little guy going against the money and the family secrets, and I took the fall. Mainly my daughter took the fall. Because I was brave enough to come forward, put an end to the abuse, and I'm actually now taking the fall for it. It's like, since when should someone take the fall for doing the right thing? All I did was tell the courts the truth. But because I went against people that make $3 million a year or whatever it is, I was just nobody. I was ignored. My witnesses were ignored. My sweet little grandma was ignored. My aunts, my cousins. The state attorney, Donald Crane, yeah, I hope he's listening. Oh, I could go on and on about the illegal things they did. The state attorney came to my house the day before the jury trial, confirmed my abuse tearfully, people telling that we came from a horrific childhood, confirmed it, and sat there and just made me...
One second here. Would you be able to just step back a little bit from your phone there?
Sure. Is that better? I'm on a really cheap phone because they can hack in my iPhone. So I bought like this $10. I bought this $10 phone for the interview, and it's really bad. But anyway, this man, Donald Crane, he's a state attorney, and he's supposed to be unbiased, right? He came to my house, talked to the witnesses, and under oath, he questioned me like I was imagining my abuse and never admitted that he talked to all these witnesses. So, I mean, this was a huge... unlawful attack that many people conducted in. But if you don't mind, because I do feel some obligation to give some people hope on the show, I have done suicide intervention, and I do feel a little bit of pressure here that I want to tell people that, you know, Ramona and I are doing everything to expose. And I am writing a book, and I'm not afraid to expose, and I don't blame people for being afraid, because I wouldn't want my life on my worst enemy. I mean, the threats, you know, all the horrible texts and everything, I wouldn't want that for anyone. But I'm not afraid to expose. And so I just want people to know that we have a game plan, you know. As long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm able to stand, I mean, I'm not going to give up. And I'm trying to get sponsors. I hope someone out there is listening, because somebody that can help, because I am trying to get sponsors to do the first CPS reality TV show that I want to host. And I want for one...
I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get in touch, and we will connect you up with our fabulous guest, send an email to producer at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Something a little bit Christmassy, fashiony, whatever with the unity, etc., and various other nice adjectives thrown in there as well. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Without Will on American Freedom Radio, and also, incidentally, what was it called? Rush 89 FM Hamilton. Hope station owner doesn't really give me some flack for kind of ballsing that one up just a little bit. Now, is our guest still on the line there, Amy?
Hello. I realize why it's so loud. I think I need to take you off speaker. I think that makes my voice too loud.
Yeah, it might do.
Is it too loud right now?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, let me do this. I just have a very raspy voice anyway. It sounds like I'm yelling. Unfortunately, this is my real voice. So don't everyone think I'm yelling, because this is just my real everyday voice. Is this better?
You are the female Jack Palance of Texas Man.
Oh, well, thank you, I think.
Hey, it's a compliment, I assure
you.
Someone
told me today I was a female Rush Limbaugh, and I didn't really know how to grab that one.
Well, I reckon you could have your own radio show. It would be easy as.
Well, I would not be afraid to have my own. Actually, my dream was to be a newscaster, and that didn't work out. And then lately I've been thinking I would love to have my own just kind of anti-CPS corruption show. But let me just explain the CPS reality thing. The reason why I think this would work is, in all due respect for the average person, this is a lot of drama. This is something average brain cannot handle. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. I'm surprised I can take it in. So what I was thinking is if someone would put the money behind a CPS reality show where people, you know, reenact if they're too afraid to get in front of a camera, the reality of what our lives are like. Because I don't think that person really gets it until they're living it. And until we can get an army of people that really get it, that's when they're going to stop. But right now, there's just a little small group of us fighting to the bitter end, you know. But if it was a huge amount of people, they can't win even if we're the little dogs. We can take down the big dogs, but it's going to take a huge army. How do we gather that army? They got to believe the stories. How do we get them to believe the stories? We got to make it real. How do we make it real? We got to expose it.
Absolutely. And again, I'd like to thank you for doing what you're doing, actually fighting for the truth.
Thank you.
Trying to be an example for others. We should all have a mother like you.
Well, thank you for being brave enough to have me on the show. I hope you don't get threats after this.
Oh, let's hope so. It'll be great material. It'll be great material to talk about on the show.
I tell you what, people that have tried to defend me, their lives have never been the same. Trust me.
Yeah. I want to have a special segment called "Tell Vinny He's Wrong and Abuse Vinny."
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. That was really nice of you.
Oh well, you just have to do it around this time of year because hey, we've got to bring the Christmas cheer to everybody, and hopefully we'll bring the cheer to the people who are doing this kind of thing in the electrical sense of the word.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
No, we don't.
We can see.
That's the problem with life, is that you got to live it and remember it rather than expect it and try to predict it. As well as talking to somebody last night, he says there's no point in just talking about things all the time. You actually have to do something, okay? Because otherwise, you're just getting in your own way. You know, and the thing about stories like this, Amy, is that have you ever heard of the monkey sphere?
Monkey sphere?
Sphere, you know, like a ball, a sphere.
No.
A very interesting concept. Apparently, human beings can only process about to 120 different social relationships at any one time. And what happens is whenever somebody is affected within those 120 people, you feel it. You know, you really, really feel it. Like if a loved one dies or something like that, it actually affects you. But if I was to tell you if one of your loved ones died, versus a million people in Iraq died, you'd feel more pain and more loss for your one person you know, and you'd feel almost nothing for the rest.
Right.
And this is what we call the monkey sphere. And in cases like this, people often they will either ignore it or not care or not look into it that much because they don't know somebody who is personally affected or they haven't heard this information before. And this is why I really wanted to bring you on because this is an incredibly important issue and it affects so many people. And it's in point of fact, it's probably the worst one in terms of, you know, delving into it, because there are those sorts of protective feelings that people get up and those walls they put up when it comes around children. And politicians use this, I always say, quite disingenuously, what about the children? But they don't care, not at all. You know, those children are something that they really, well, basically, they're out of their monkey sphere.
Well, the only reason they care in their own minds is because they can make profit off our children. I think I called it the four P's, profit. What was profit, promotions, politicians, what was it, politics? I had a, anyway, it was called the four P's. It's, I haven't mentioned it in about 6 months. I used to mention it on Facebook. My mind escaped me there. But as long as there's motive, you know, I don't know how there's going to be justice unless enough people take action. I made a few enemies on Facebook recently, which I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But, you know, I speak the truth, and sometimes it's a little too direct for people. But, you know, I get this every day, oh, hugs and, you know, huggy-wuggy stuff. You know, don't get me wrong, that's all sweet. But I'm someone who gets out there every day. I'm everything getting out there. And, you know, I apologize for those listening that I maybe went off on a little bit on Facebook last night, but they don't understand my world. I mean, they just don't get it. And it just amazes me how many people just sit there and they think that telling you a hug or, you know, I'm thinking of you tonight is enough. It infuriates me. It, you know, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. It's better than, you know, not having someone care. But at the same time, like, what are you doing about it? I mean, if you're going to sit there and look at a child covered in bruises and think, well, she's just one child, then where does humanity begin? Where does it begin and where does it end? Because it should start with one child. It's a snowball effect. You start with one case, you win that case, and then you hopefully open the door for many others. It's that simple.
There's so many things to wake up to and so many different aspects because, you know, life itself and all the institutions that we've, you know, grown up and been taught to trust and all of those sort of things, they're all built on a, well, basically built upon sand. And gradually they've been washed away. All the morals, all the ethics and all the accountability has gone completely and they will not give it back and we have to take it back. And, you know, standing up and actually letting your voice be heard aside, when you're trying to support other people who are doing that, I always say that you have to stand up for the people who stand up for you. And dovetails with an attack on one is an attack on all. If you could tolerate even one case like this, and there are many, many, many countless, you would not believe how many of these there are. But if you could just think about the implications of this with any rationality and think to yourself, no, that is absolutely not okay, burning torch kind of pitchfork mob ensues, okay, let justice be done, whatever. In a different contextual of the word, I mean, we don't want to like be rushing City Hall with guns or anything like
that,
silly nature, you know. It's about using the systems that were supposed to keep us safe in order to make them recognize how, well, basically they've been letting this whole thing go on and the whole system itself needs to change back into what it should have been. The actual ideas of them have been warped so that anything that is said in a court, in my opinion, and I've had a lot of experience going into court and covering other people's cases, is just so unbelievably corrupt, and it's almost as if everybody in there doesn't really want to be there and has no reason to be there otherwise.
Well, exactly, and I'll simplify it to this. Knowledge is power, and there's no place here for passivism. Do you understand? Because as long as people are passive with this problem, there will be no justice.
That's right. I mean, we sit down and we take it, don't we? Why? Why is that happening?
I cannot figure that out for the life of me. I pray to God for patience every night because I cannot figure out how people can watch children suffer and not get out there. I mean, you know, I'm a bit of a rebel with a cause, in respect, but So no way I've ever done anything immoral or illegal as far as trying to get my story out there. And it's like, when will justice prevail?
And that's the other thing about justice, is that it's not for everybody. It's actually just us, you know, the very few, the very select. We're the ones who can walk our way through anything. After all, there was George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, laundered money for the Nazis in a New York bank and was charged under the Trading with the Enemy Act. And he got off scot-free because he had enough, all right? Enough connections and enough dirt on everybody around him to make sure that, you know, they really didn't want him going to jail and maybe squealing on. And instead of killing him, they got him to spawn two sons who became presidents of the United States to erode everybody's civil liberties, just like his Nazi grandfather.
Right.
You know, and this is a microcosm here. I mean, we're talking Rick Perry, all right, who's connected to this case ostensibly, but... do you know about the Bilderberg Group?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part about Governor Rick Perry.
Have he been to a Bilderberg Group conference? Did you know that?
Oh, you know what? Nothing would surprise me. I mean, isn't he running for presidency?
is that right? Because I remember...
That's the rumor in Texas. I don't know. That when somebody can promise a broken-hearted mother who sneaks her way into a rally, all by myself wearing a huge shirt, big love God, love the people shirt. I figured if he throws me out wearing that shirt, he's really going to look like a dog, right?
But, yeah.
So I walk up to him with the pictures on my Facebook and on the web, you know, on the site. And I said, Mr. Perry, Governor Perry, do you know who I am? Amy Sharon, he looked at me and the cameras were on and he said, no. And I pulled out a picture of my daughter. I said, now do you know who I am, sir? And he goes, oh, dear, I'm so sorry. It was so over-the-top phony. But see, what he did is he's a smart man. He kept me calm at the rally. Because what I should have done is I should have exposed a little, well, you know what. But, you know, he fooled me. And I'm not one to be fooled easily, but he did fool me. And he promised an investigation.
I've interviewed many a slick politician.
Oh, he's so El Suave. I mean, look at him.
Oh, man, they're really good at their jobs, aren't they? To just smooth talk you and keep out of trouble and be the nice little public face for the fascist, imperialist, whateverist.
But this is what I don't get. What do they think the ending's going to be? Because the evidence is public. What he hid, the felonies, the state of Texas. By the way, the documents say state of Texas versus Amy Sharon. Ooh. Well, let me say something. Houston, you do have a problem. You know the famous Houston, we have a problem? Well, they do. They have a problem. It's called Amy Sharon. Because I'm not going to let them get away with this. If I have to expose and stand in front of the White House till I'm 80, I will. And I think that's why they're scared now, because they see I'm not playing. No, I'm not going to go out with a gun or do any of those crazy protesting. I'm talking all morally right. All within legal grounds, but they're not going to shut me up unless they legally shut me up, which they've done before, so nothing would surprise me. They sure have.
And of course, you're not going to commit suicide or anything silly like
that. Are you kidding me? I'm too angry. Well, you know what? Anger motivates me.
I've always said that, what was it? Anger is just depression plus motivation.
Fear and anger is my best buddies. That's what keeps me going. The day I get too sad, it'll be hard for me to get out of bed. But as long as I, you know, I'm running a little on empty lately because I'm real frustrated with them taking my beautiful home. But suicide, no way. Religiously, I don't believe in it, for one, and I would never do that to my daughter, and I would never give up because, for one, I have, you know, I'm trying to help people stay alive. Why the heck would I do that? That would make no sense. I'm trying to motivate people. I would never be a story of complete, how horrific. No. I've never been suicidal in my life. With my daughter being gone 2 years, I've never stayed in bed. There was one day I was running 103 fever and I stayed in bed. It's amazing. I get up every day perky thinking this is a day of hope and this is, you know, I studied The Secret. You know The Secret, right? That's what I was talking about earlier, ancient philosophy. And I'm a big believer in The Secret. And I believe what you think is what will happen. So I believe if you visualize every day your child back with you, that doesn't work for everyone. But there has been scientific proof that you can create your reality. And so I never think the end is my daughter's going to die or I'm going to die or I'm not going to win. Because for me to think that, I may create that reality.
I remember a friend of mine, John Eisen, who runs a magazine here called Uncensored, and he explains some very, very cool stuff in that magazine, let me tell you. And he was like, never, ever talk about anybody trying to come and kill you, all right, because then it'll happen. And I didn't know what he meant at the time, but that you're starting to be able to influence what happens in your life by what you think really does, in fact, matter. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you think, man, it's a really awesome day, generally you'll have an awesome day. You know, and it's dead simple, and it happens all the time, and people don't recognize that they in fact have the power to direct the course of their own human experience far more than any other individual does, because the most powerful individual in your life is yourself, which is convenient, it's the only one you got.
Well, that's a cold hard truth, yes. And, you know, when I worked at MD Anderson, so horrible, you know, women with no eyebrows and no hair dying of cancer, and I'm trying to hold it together and doing their makeovers for their last birthday, their last anniversary, what have you. And I learned a lot about psychology when I was doing that. I learned about women that have been married 30 years, and not that I'm male bashing in any way here, but they're dying alone because, hey, they're just depressing because they've been dying for years kind of thing. So they're sitting there trying to get a little makeover, trying to die with some dignity. But the amazing part about this story is the women that said, I'm too stubborn to die, were patting me on the shoulder a year later when they were told they only had weeks to live. That is the power of the mind. That's the attitude. I've personally seen it with my own eyes. So I earned my opinion. That's just, I tell people that all the time. You want to discredit me? Go ahead. Bring it on. Because I've seen too many miracles.
I completely agree.
I was told when I was 23, I had something like 6 weeks to live. I had something called, essential mixed cryoglobulinemia mixed with urticaria vasculitis and something like all these weird things. And I was on chemo. And I was told I wouldn't live, la, la, la. Then I had Lyme's disease, which is horribly painful, from a tick, go figure. And they were telling me, oh, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, you're not going to be able to finish college. Well, to my surprise, I actually graduated National Dean's List, top of my class, 3 years on the National Dean's List. I'm actually in the book. And I did have to pay people to grip the pen for me because I actually couldn't grip a pen because my joints were so swollen. But I'm like so not the kind of person that ever gives up. I mean, that's been the way I've been long before my daughter was taken.
And this has been going on, as you say, for what was it now, 2 years?
Well, my abuse started as a small child, but I mean, the kidnapping of my daughter was March 15th of 2009. I've been a survivor of everything you could imagine, but I never played victim, and that's why I'm just hoping somehow there's going to be a happy ending, because I want to be an example for others that feel like, you know, giving up.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I mean, I had a horrific abusive childhood and everything from molestation as a child, everything you could imagine, and I never, ever questioned God. I never said, why is me? And then after going through all that, I had my daughter taken. And I'm still not doubting God, and I'm still not angry at the world. I'm angry, yes, at the bad guys. But I'm, you know, lately that people aren't taking more action. But if you know me in the real life, I mean, I'm a very loving, caring person. I come out as the tough girl on Facebook because that's not my reality. You know, I mean, a lot of those people know me, but a lot of those people don't. It's at almost 5,000 people. And then it's like another almost 5,000 on the evidence side. And then over 1,000 on my TV interview, and then it adds up and it adds up. But in reality, people don't know the real Amy Sharone. You know, what people like me endure daily, what our children endure daily,
All right. Now, I'd like to thank you again very much for coming on the show with us, and I hope.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You have a very Merry Christmas, okay?
By the way, I'm doing virtual reality Christmas for people that don't have their children. We're going to try to get one.
There she goes, Amy Sharon, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in contact with her, you email.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere. The Finney Eastwood Show, coming at you from everywhere. Last I checked the Google Analytics, there was like 87 different countries that had visited the website, which was very interesting. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas, indeed. Some of you may or may not be having a very Merry Christmas. Some of you have been sleeping in airports, I'm told, coming out of the UK following rough winter weather. Jack Frost nipping at your toes. But I don't see no chestnuts roasting on an open fire for some of you. However, in times of great family-esque celebrations like Christmas, it's always a good idea to think about what's really important in life. That we're all basically playing a rigged game in this life. Right. I can honestly assure you that the table is tilted. There is no doubt that those who have the power, whomever they may be, whatever country or whatever, they're all the same. They will do anything within their power that they currently have to keep it and get more of it. It's what happens all the time. And, you know, power ultimately corrupts, so what happens is you got people that are like kidnapping kids and murdering and stealing trillions of dollars out of the US Treasury, as was reported the day before 9/11, incidentally, which everybody conveniently forgot about. So, let's think about this. Can we turn it around? And I talked about the monkey sphere. You know, if it doesn't happen to you or somebody you know, it doesn't matter, right? If you really research into things, everything that's happening to you, cumulatively, regardless of whether you're in good spirits, poor spirits, lots of money, or if all money, as many people in the US and New Zealand are now currently experiencing a very, very precipitous collapse of financial securities, shall we put it nicely. But the key to this is also another monkey reference. Monkey sphere determines who you care about and what kind of that actions really affect you, right? Like a big, huge disaster or something like that, that affects you. The 100th monkey syndrome is about a learning curve. Let's say a monkey figures out that you can use twigs and then put the twigs into an ant hive and then pull out a whole bunch of ants and then eat them all. As soon as, you know, another monkey sees him doing that, he starts doing it too. So on and so forth, coming down the chain. All these monkeys keep teaching each other around the whole thing. And then the most amazing thing happens. After 100 or so monkeys, supposedly, have actually learned this particular skill, they find out that monkeys everywhere automatically have that skill. They just automatically figure it out. So the idea is that we are all connected, you know, as primates or whatever, so that we can actually make a difference with our thoughts. And just think about that. Think about your family this Christmas and just how much nice thoughts you got for them, how much you love them, how much you don't want to see them come to grief, how much you love seeing them laugh, how much you miss some of them that you can't see anymore. Think about all of these things. Put your mind to them. And really feel it this Christmas. And you know that your family and everybody else is right there alongside you, regardless of whether or not they're physically there. You know? Because you can feel it all. All the time, can't you? Christmas is so friggin' magical. Everybody's happy and drinking and eating and laughing and getting presents and singing, and the same dang songs are played in all the slave malls. Oh, isn't it just festive? Everybody loves it. And why wouldn't they? It's the happiest time of the year. It's a time when huge amounts of advertising starts coming on out, where the main topic of discussion is how much the retailers are making this season. It seems to me that advertising and the media itself, they kind of control our thoughts to a certain extent, and then we start to think that those thoughts were our own. We think it's our idea that we came up with all on our own. Like it emerged out of the brain-locked, ether. How can you actually deal with somebody who thinks like that, that they have totally original thought and they're not wrong? I could never boast that I'm original at all. I absolutely not. Just an amalgamation of everything that's already been. There's nothing new under the sun, ladies and gentlemen. It's all the same old stuff over and over again, and it doesn't make any sense a lot of the time because, hey, it's not supposed to make sense. That's why they call it insanity. Because, you know, if you have a look at it, what's the definition of insane? I don't know. It's believing something. Oh, the definition of delusional, in fact, is believing something despite contrary evidence being presented. You know? And that didn't matter to a judge in New Zealand when he put Claire Swinney, who we've had on the show, into a mental institution for saying that 9/11 was an inside job. Qantas Media Award nominee is delusional, without presenting any evidence, of course, to the contrary, or being allowed to. It's like our ideas that we think are ours really aren't a lot of the time. So if we have the idea that, we're real smart, you're probably so stupid that you just don't know how stupid you are. And that's the real crux of our society at the moment. We've been so dumbed down, so repeatedly lied to, that our perception of reality has become so warped that we don't even recognize what real stupidity is. We don't realize that the enemy is stupidity and the enemy is us. Because we haven't seen what's been going on for all this time. No. But today, in the age of the internet and the information is flowing and that kind of thing, and people are abandoning and unhooking their cable and doing all of that stuff willy-nilly, nobody else in the whole world has any freaking clue how to live a really happy life without being picked on by the government or somebody else wanting to take a piece of you. You know, freedom's just completely gone because we've grown up and we've been taught to think that everything's perfectly okay. Income tax. It'll solve all those pesky tax problems. No. It won't do that. What it will do is basically sell you on the open stock market with your birth certificate serial number. Look it up. Go to the frigging stock market and punch in the serial number that's on your birth certificate. You can find out how much your stock is worth. You're being traded on the open market by a bunch of sleazy scumbags who can make money out of thin air and gamble on the stock market. Gambling, and I say that operatively, because they were actually tied up with the State Gambling Commission, who wanted to legislate against this kind of betting on the stock market, derivatives trading and such as my Prime Minister was actually involved in. My Prime Minister. So we got these two-party systems. People realize that, hey, both those parties are exactly the same, yet they keep continuing to vote for one or the other. How stupid is that? How stupid do we think we are? Maybe we can't even conceivably think of how stupid we are because we're too stupid. You know? This is all a conundrum of retardedity. And I fully admit that I'm probably incredibly foolish. You know, I don't think things through a lot of the time. I'm human. Sorry. Sorry for being human, Al Gore. Sorry for being human, George Bush. Sorry for being human, John Key. Sorry that, you know, you can't accept the fact that you're a slave. I can accept the fact that I'm a slave. Oh, you know, I love being a slave. It's awesome. I get to do my little slave dance, you know, yada, yada, yada. I just got a very long leash is all. Love being a servant to government. Love being it. Oh, yes. I've been one all my life. Why wouldn't I love it? I love it so much. It keeps me warm at night knowing that the government's looking after me. Or looking at me scarily. So what happens is we come to this point where in day-to-day conversations, you know, you can be talking about anything, really. And some people will get incredibly angry with you for even broaching the subject. You know, like our previous guest, for example. There's some people who get absolutely effed off to no end that I put that on the show. You know, so be it. At least I did the right thing. Very few people who actually care enough to want to take that kind of heat. You know, I care because she cares. You know, I have to have empathy for my fellow man and woman. To have empathy for kids, you have to have empathy for animals. I mean, you could have this entire empathy complex where you try and care about everybody else as much as you care about yourself. In so doing, you very much hope, and this is all you can do really is hope, that somewhere down the line, people will start caring a little more for each other because I do. Or because somebody else does for me. You know? Because the worst phrase that you can ever utter, and the one that I dread to hear, is those three words, I don't care. Those people are cowardly. The I don't care statement means that you are resigned to a terrible, terrible place, from which you'll probably wind up in a concentration camp of some description, because there's a hell of a lot of apathetic people up there who are just going to a FEMA camp someday, you know. Governments all throughout history have tried to exterminate people because they dumb them down first so that they don't realize they're about to be exterminated. It's not hard. Do it all the time, mate. Look it up. You know, and there's people saying that, oh, this conspiracy theory, you know, it gets really annoying really quickly, you know, as if, you know, you've met me or talked to me or anything like that. And make a swift judgment call based upon your own assumptions that you've been taught to by people whose opinions aren't worth a brass farthing, in the words of Mark Twain. Second and third hand information with absolutely no research behind it, and you say, hey, it must be true because the government told me. Or because my studies taught me this. Mate, you always got to admit when you're wrong, and you also always got to assume that you're wrong. Okay? Because probably you are, about everything. At some point or another, the amount of information that is being expanded in humankind, apparently the amount of stuff that we know, doubles every year. Or even it was starting to go up on some exponential scale from God knows when. We are acquiring immense amounts of information, and the only way you can keep up with such information overload is to do either one, be passive and allow all of it to flow through you, and the other way is to close yourself off from all new thought. And so many people take that and they think it's the easy way out. And that's the real joke. Because you can talk to people and they instantly dismiss you. And you kind of understand that, hey, this is what being, you know, experiencing racism feels like. I'm being discriminated against. Isn't that interesting? You can bring up anything. You can bring up fluoride, and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, you're going to worship the reptilians next for us. Ah. I don't care what you say, because you're just going to recite things that you've memorized. How dare ye? If you're so hung up on it, how can you judge people so completely? I mean, you know, you walk around, you judge people, and you use discrimination all the time, you know. You didn't wind up with your partner because you threw darts at a phone book, did you? But think about it. If you're actually going to, like, go out of your way to stop somebody from having their say, what kind of government do you think represents you? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without Will! On American Freedom Radio.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh yeah, that's right. We go brush our teeth. That's all part of it. That's foreplay. You go sort out the recycling. That's not part of it, but it's still very important. Next thing you know, we're in the bedroom. You're wearing that ugly, baggy t-shirt from that team-building exercise you did for your old work. And it's never looked better on you. Oh, wah, 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 wah. I take off my trousers and trip over them, but I turn it into a little dance that makes you think, yum, he's very sexy. Now I'm down to just my socks. And you know, when I'm down to just my socks, what time it is. It's time for business. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
You know, when I'm wearing my socks, it's business time. They're business socks.
That's right. That's right, I'm wearing my business socks. In New Zealand, we call them jandals. It is hot, it is sunny, it is humid, it is beautiful. In Christmas in New Zealand, we have these things called a pahutakawa tree. And they come out with these bright red little springy flowers all through Christmas. It's absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, our pristine environment come coated with chemtrails and smogged up and that kind of thing, you know, just sparkles in the aluminium light. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without Will on American Freedom Radio, I'd like to wish Will a very, very merry Christmas indeed. And also our remarkably talented board op and the owner of the network, Danny Romero. And his boys, Dan and Adam. We've got so many good people on this network, so many good shows and Freedom Files on before this show every day for your listening pleasure. James Burns is an awesome dude, man. Swear to God. Cool as ice. And he always gives a big props to our show, and it's an honor, really. And you kind of have to take these sort of camaraderie-type relationships with a little bit of honor, you know? You can't be getting too friggin' egotistical about yourself. I mean, after all, it's just genocide. Oh, yes. And, of course, let's not forget, I'm not the only person that works on this show. We have a... course, my co-host, Will, who works tirelessly studying his little brains out to come up with ridiculously obscure but informative information on the show in a very British manner of presentation, might I add, which is very scary at the best of times. And, of course, associate producer Mitch, who many of our guests that we've had previous on the show will remember as the extremely bubbly, fantastic, and, in my opinion, somewhat fabulous executive producer of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and his lovely wife, and my girls, as he would say. Yep. Everybody's got a family this Christmas, and for those who don't, oh, I can't give you enough counselling, can I? Because, you know, there's nothing that can take that away. And on that cheery note, I wish a very Merry Christmas to all the listeners of the show. And what does Merry Christmas mean? Well, Merry Christmas means experiencing some cheer, some happiness, some frolicking, whatever. Do something that really makes you happy this holiday season. You know, put a sign that says kick me and stick it on the back of a congressman or something. You know, something that'll just give you a little chuckle. You know, laugh out loud. And get it on video too. We'll put it up on our YouTube channel or something. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Don't do that, actually, because then I could be seen as inciting violence. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure Homeland Security would be very, very happy to do something about it, regardless of the amount of sociopaths that they've got working for them. Oh, mate, I just love tyranny. It's just so fabulous. Where does it all get off? Hey. Christmas is where it gets off, man. No tyranny over Christmas. Yeah. Even, well, even World War II, didn't somebody actually call an armistice during a big bloody battle so that they could enjoy Christmas without being shelled at? You know, you'd figure if somebody could just stop killing each other over a holiday, then maybe people could just stop killing each other full stop. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful? What a unique idea. This is Vinny's Christmas message. Stop killing each other. I should have thought it'd be quite obvious, you know, what with the death penalty and the life sentences and all of that kind of stuff, which means you're a slave for a private prison corporation for the rest of your natural life. All the political prisoners and what have you out there, and especially cannabis smokers. Man, cannabis smokers don't need to go to prison. After all, in New Zealand, 87% of 18 to 54-year-olds have used cannabis. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Actually, it was 85% of above 25-year-olds in New Zealand have tried it. Or was it under? Who cares? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for listening. We very much appreciate it. If you've got any feedback for the show that you'd like us to read out or put up on our listener feedback page, you email producer at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We appreciate your feedback and indeed got our first piece of criticism the other day, which we were so happy about. May you have the merriest of merry good times, and we will see you after the holidays.